I only got 5 minutes, so I thought I'd bring enough information up here this morning. This morning's lesson is about fighting a good fight and to finish our course, to be faithful unto death. That's what our lesson is about this morning. And I want to read for you a verse in 2 Timothy 4, 7 and 8. It says this, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing." To me, that verse sums up what being a Christian is. No matter where I'm at, no matter if I'm 20 years old, no matter when I was 17 years old, no matter when I'm 40 years old, which is going to happen next month, God still wants me to continue strong with where I'm at right now. And he wants me to finish what he has started in me. I would like to read for you a story out of this book. I'm sure most of you recognize what that book is. It's the story of the Martyr's Mirror. Stories of people that I feel fought the good fight. That no matter what persecution they were facing, no matter what things they were coming up against, no matter if it meant leaving their families, they were not going to deny their faith and give up their faith in Christ. The story I'm going to read to you in this Martyr's Mirror book is a story that has special meaning to me and my wife and our family. Marcia has been doing some research on her family tree and reading some genealogies and history of her family. She came across a story in this book that relates to one of her ancestors. His name was Hans Jacob Hess. And Hans Jacob Hess happens to be Marcy's grandfather 8 generations ago. So it'd be her great, 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 and 4 more great grandfathers in 1637. The wording in the Martyr's Mirror is a little difficult to understand. It's Old English, but I sort of like some of the words, and I shouldn't be smiling about some of the things that they went through, but you understand what I'm saying. Some of the words aren't what we use, but just follow along as I read. Hans Jacob Hess, with his wife, A.D. 1639. Among those who suffered in the Swiss persecution, there was none of the least Hans Jacob Hess, a chosen and confirmed minister of the Christian Church. He was apprehended for the third time in the year 1639, for from the 2 preceding imprisonments, the first of which occurred already in the year 1637, the Lord beyond all expectation had remarkably delivered him through the aid of those that were imprisoned with him, as also out of this third imprisonment. The first lasted 19 days, the second 8 weeks, and the third 83 weeks, or more than a year and a half. But in the meantime, his life was made very bitter and vexatious, for he was stripped, and together with some of his fellow believers, put in iron bonds 16 weeks, which he nevertheless patiently bore with a steadfast mind until the time of his deliverance. While this was taking place, namely in the same year, also his wife was apprehended, who was first imprisoned in the council house, and then in 3 weeks, she was so impaired in her constitution and weakened that she was seized with consumption, and after suffering much misery, died in prison. Or in other words, she starved to death. This then was the end of this pious heroine of Jesus, who to receive the eternal blessed life, because of the uprightness of her faith, chose to die a lingering death rather than enjoy the temporal rest and pleasure of this life. Wherefore, the gracious God shall hereafter crown and reward her with all those that have valiantly suffered and fought for his name's sake with the unfading crown of honor. There's a note at the bottom of this. It says, the property of Jacob Hess was seized by authorities who realized from the sale of it 4,000 guilders without restoring anything of it to those who remained. O great injustice, how will they be able to account for this before the righteous judgment seat of Jesus Christ? Jacob Hess was Marcy's grandfather a number of generations ago. And I had to think about what would have been, what our family would be like if Hans Jacob Hess said, "No, I don't believe in Christ anymore." There's been, in seeking out her genealogy, there was quite a number of pastors in her genealogy. And I wonder what would happen if he would have said, "No, I don't care about Jesus anymore. I'm going to recant my faith." What would have happened? What he was going through was not easy. His wife died because of mistreatment. He was in prison for almost 2 years. And every day in that imprisonment, he could have recanted his faith and been set free. But he chose not to, because he was faithful till death. And I don't know exactly how God allowed him to escape, but it was right around this time when his grandson moved to America. And that's where the Hess line started in America, was his grandson. So I just had to think of where our family would be at if he would have chosen to say no to God. And I'm thankful for Marcy's grandfather, Jacob Hess, that he said yes to God and no to recanting. Causes me to think a lot about how steadfast I am in my faith and how willing I am to stand up for Christ. It's many, many times that I know that I have not stood up even a little bit for Christ, certainly not to the point of death. And it's caused me to think about my relationship with God and what I hold true and what I hold important in my life and in my family's life. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for today. Lord, as we study this lesson, we understand, I pray that we could understand a little bit what it means to be faithful to death. And I just pray that you would guide each teacher as we discuss faithfulness to you. And I pray that each one of us, from youth to adult alike, would be faithful in what you have called us to do. I pray this in your name. Amen.